Blog Talk Radio.
Down low for him. Down low for him.
Well,
we welcome you, our girlfriends, the Sisterhood of Unity. We thank you for tuning in on tonight with Woman to Woman. You have Coach D here and
Minister LaDon.
And we are girlfriends, and we are expanding our borders. We are opening up and our borders to our listening audience, to you out there, our sisters, our dear, sweet sisters, daughters of the King. We thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you. Without you, this Tuesday would not be Ladies Night Out. We enjoy having Ladies Night Out. It's just, you know, we used to do this on Wednesday night. It was Lady Night at all the clubs. Don't act like you've never been to a club. We ain't all been saved all of our lives.
You know, I didn't know Wednesday was Ladies Night, though.
So. Wednesday nights always been Ladies Nights in the club.
Well, maybe I need to revisit.
No, that's all right. I don't know. They might not have that in 2015 or 16. It's been a while. But I thought, you know, when I was doing my thing, it was Wednesday night, but ladies' night. So you got in for free, and that was a ploy for the club owner to bring in the men, because if you could get all the ladies to come in for free, you could get a bunch of ladies, and ladies was the magnet that would bring the men in that would spend money to get through the door and money. Anyway, so all that to say is that Tuesday night on MCD Network, we have ladies' night, and that's Woman to Woman. And we're bringing some really good topics, the things that
powerful
topics, the things that you're not going to hear about generally at a book club. You know, you may not hear about Sunday at church or Wednesday night Bible study. So these are some women, we deal with various women issues. And so on tonight, we have such a raving review last Tuesday, a show that we did entitled I Lust You Forever, Bankrupt Beyond the Bedroom. And we had so many people that tuned in, even gentlemen tuned in and gave their opinion and their thoughts on it, which was very interesting just to get it from a male perspective for us ladies. But it was such a great show that we had so many people hit us and ask for a part two that we decided that we would do a part two. So tonight is the part two of Lust You Forever, Bankrupt Beyond the Bedroom. And for those who didn't tune in last week, you want to share, what does that mean? What does that mean, bankrupt beyond the bedroom?
Well, last week, again, we got into so many different areas. We covered so many different areas with this one topic alone. Bankrupt beyond the bedroom, we talked a lot about the relationship having no relevancy or no depth beyond what goes on in the bedroom. So we had a lot of women talking about, maybe discussing how sex was the glue that kept their relationships together, but beyond the sex, they were having so many different issues or so many different problems. And so we want to, of course, again, expand this topic, bring more to the table for you all this evening, and really break open how we can not live lives of being bankrupt beyond the bedroom. We wanted to, you know, really take a moment to stay here, stick with this subject, and really support our sisters in being in relationships, and the relationship not just being about sex, the relationship being so much more about sex. And women, I'm going to say right now, because there's believers who are listening and there's non-believers who are listening, and we like to be real on this show. And so I'm speaking to everyone, whether you are married or whether you are not married. There is so much more to a relationship than just being in a sexual relationship and thinking that that's going to keep your man, that's going to keep your relationship for a long time.
I'm in agreement with you there, definitely. And I think most of us I know you've either been in this situation, you're going through it right now, or if you're not careful, you'll go through it.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's a good subject matter because I think you have a lot of people. And again, what we're saying is that we understand that we have a mixture here. Everybody may not believe the same thing, So we're talking to the women. And so we know we have people that's here that's married. that's experiencing some things. We know we have people here that are shacking, that's experiencing some things, in relationships, that's experiencing some things. And so we want to be sensitive to that, and we will have a period of time that we're going to open up the lines for, you know, for comments and questions. And we just ask that you be respectful in your comments and your questions. We won't ask you for your name, so if you want to introduce yourself, that's totally up to you, but we don't necessarily have to have your name for you to make a comment or ask a question. So last week, if we recall, leaving off from last week, we had a, and we're going to bring this through, and like I said, we're going to open up the line sooner than later because this is an open discussion, because it's not just Minister LaDon or Coach D's opinion. Some of the stuff we haven't even been on. So, I mean, you know, we have an experience. So we are dependent on our callers to participate. The question last week was, one of the things that was brought up is that as a believer, those who believe, that's practicing celibacy, and then all of a sudden you get married, and you and your mate, made a decision, to be celibate before, you know, until you got married, and then all of a sudden you get married, and now there's an issue in the bedroom. And the question was, how do you handle something like that? How, you know, and especially if you verbalized it, you know, in your relationship, how do you handle a situation like that?
Well, you know what? I was in a discussion with one of my friends earlier this evening, and we were talking about I kind of brought up the topic, that question that came up, because I think the caller had said or texted that they were in a relationship and their husband was doing everything right, buying roses, being very extremely attentive and just being there for as you think that a husband would be or a mate would be in a relationship, and yet in the bedroom, they were actually bankrupt in the bedroom rather than bankrupt beyond the bedroom, because everything seemed to be going right outside of the bedroom, but in the bedroom, things weren't going so right. And the biggest thing that my friend had discussed was you have to look at more than just the question. You have to understand the why. And when they said that, I really didn't really get a good grasp of it until they went into more detail about it, but saying that the why is going to be the key to releasing the challenge of that relationship. Why are they bankrupt in the bedroom? Why is it that everything outside of the bedroom is going well, everything about outside of the bedroom is going excellent, but in the bedroom there's challenges? And that goes back to communication, which was one of the things that we brought up the last show, was that truly there has to be communication in a relationship, because the bedroom cannot save you when you're in a relationship. Having sex and just being in a sexual relationship, that is a means of really walking towards the end, in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that if you're only having sex, if sex is the only thing that's keeping you together, at some point in time, that relationship is going to end. Because we are designed to be fulfilled by so much more,
mm-hmm,
than just sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can actually eliminate sex and still have a wonderful relationship with people, just like girlfriends do.
Exactly.
You don't have sex together, and you have wonderful relationships where you're excited about seeing your girlfriend. You're like, okay, I can't wait to get together. We're going to get dressed up. We're going to go out. We're going to have a good time. And so you really have to make sure that your relationship is not just dependent upon sex, but if you are in a marriage, if you are in that relationship, you do want to be well-balanced. And so communication will help them become more balanced in that area. She does have to find out what is the why and be willing to hear and accept and understand and work on that why.
That's good. You made a good comment. You know, we as girlfriends, we come together. We do enjoy. Oh, I can't wait. I'm getting with my girlfriend. I'm going out to eat. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And we do. And we can talk on the phone for hours. You know, I got girlfriends that call. And we, and I look at the phone and say, God, it's been an hour and 38 minutes, you know. But we could talk for hours. And it really enjoy each other's company. And like you said, it's a form of intimacy. It's just not sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think, in choosing your mate, you better make sure that you guys at least have great conversation.
Yeah.
Do that person, do you guys laugh? You know, can you guys laugh? Can you guys enjoy each other's company when you go somewhere? You know, when you guys go out on the town, have, you know, dinner or what have you, can you really enjoy each other? And a lot of relationships can't. A lot of relationships just don't have anything in common. So when they come out the bedroom, he's doing his thing, she's doing her thing, and then when they come together outside the bedroom, all they can find is conflict. You know, it's just they constantly fussing and arguing and bickering and can't get along and they have nothing in common. And so so that is important. One of the other things that you said is be willing to be willing to receive the why, because the why could be about you.
Yeah.
The why may not be about the other person. The why could be about you, so you have to be open and willing to receive the why. Why are we at this stage? What's wrong? And I get what you were saying about the friend thing, that you don't have to have sex, you know, that you don't have to have sex in order to be in a relationship, a marriage. I don't know. I think it varies on the person, because I would think, and I'm just going to give a thought that I think how some women are thinking, or even men. If I'm not going to be intimate as far as sexual, then why am I even, I mean, I could have just remained friends. I mean, that could be one of the things. What would be the purpose of getting married? What would really be the purpose of me marrying you if there's not going to be any intimate bonding, that kind of bonding?
Definitely, but that's why I said you have to be well-balanced, because you can be great friends and not have great sex. You can have great sex and not be great friends. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can think that you're friends with each other and have really great sex, but have a horrible way of communicating with each other. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to take the time to balance out your relationship, because your relationship is about so much more than just having sex. And when you find that you are extremely balanced in your relationship, you'll find that you're able to be at liberty and have more freedom in all of the different areas of your relationship, sex included. Because you might find that when you're in relationships that sometimes you can't even talk to people about what it is that you want or what it is that you like. Sometimes you're so uptight because you don't know how they're going to receive what you want. You don't know how they're going to receive what you like. And so you just kind of do the same thing over and over and over again. Every time you go to bed or, you know, get ready to be in bed together, you do the same thing over and over again. But when you find that you're balanced, when you find that you're really taking the time to invest in your relationship and not be bankrupt beyond the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
you will find that you have more liberty in that bedroom area. It does become more intimate. It does become a place where you can share your secrets, your secrets stay there. And it also becomes a place that when you are in bed together, that you're just able to connect on a deeper level. You're able to connect more.
Mm-hmm. That's funny that you said that, because you can be creative. I think if I had to choose, and like I said, it's a matter of preference, I think if I had to choose a great friendship with my mate,
mm-hmm.
or great a sexual thing with my mate, I think that I would have preferred. Hello? I think that I would have preferred a great friendship,
uh-huh.
because I think in a great friendship you could understand. You could understand your mate, and by you understanding your mate, you could get creative. Because maybe your mate just came. Let's just say you got with your mate. You guys had great. We want to apologize because we think there was a technical difficulty. So if for some reason you cannot hear us, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you can't hear us. We thought that there may have been a technical difficulty, and we wanted to acknowledge that. But what we wanted to say is that, let's say you had a great relationship. You know, you got married. This woman was, I mean, you guys just, you know, just had a great sexual relationship. And all of a sudden, he or she got injured. For him, he got injured. Or let's say a sickness came upon him that would not allow him to, wouldn't allow him to sexually be active.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? Are you going to leave that person? Because if you don't have a friendship, guess what? You probably will.
And that's the whole reason why we're doing a show, because you can't, ladies, we don't want to only have, we don't only want to have commerce inside the bedroom. And that's where we as women sometimes get lost. We think if we have the greatest sex, we'll keep a man. That's not how you're going to keep a man. Because there's always going to be someone out there who's willing to do more, who's willing to do something different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So having sex with somebody, having great sex with somebody does not keep them. You do have to be a balanced individual so that you can have a balanced relationship. Your relationship cannot be all about the other person either. You know, we're so, we want to invest so much into the other person so that they see, most of the time it's so that they see our value or find us valuable because we're investing in them. But at that point in time, you're making that person greater and you're making yourself less. So why would you, somebody who now you put so much into, they've now become greater, why would they want to stay with somebody who has made themselves less? And what I mean by that is you haven't taken the time to reinvest into yourself. You haven't taken the time to develop yourself, to come up with things that you like, your own ideas, your own wants, your own desires, and be your own whole individual. And you've helped this other person now become whole. Why would somebody who is whole now want to deal with somebody who is not whole? We all want to deal with whole people. And so if you are helping somebody else to get whole, you want to make sure you're getting whole yourself too. So you have to be balanced. You really have to just be balanced.
You know, wow. I don't know if you understood what Minister LaDon just said. She said, while you're spending time helping somebody else get whole and you're not whole, once that person gets whole, and we've seen it, let's be real, once that person gets whole, then why do they want to be with somebody that's broken, that's damaged? The right thing would be, hey, you helped me, now let me help you. That's not ever how it happens. We know it. I could say I've experienced that. I could say in my lifetime that I've experienced being in relationships where I was helping somebody that was damaged or broken, and I was helping them to get back to where they needed to be. But in the process of me doing that, because don't anybody know that when you're doing that, you in essence become submissive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be. When you decide to help somebody else, build somebody else up, you in essence become, so you become a ladder. If I could use that analogy, you become a ladder. And so if that person is in the process of them becoming whole, they're constantly climbing that ladder. Eventually that ladder gets weak. Eventually that ladder gets frail. And so while this ladder is getting weak and frail, it might not start off weak and frail, but as it's getting weak and frail, if it doesn't know how to fix itself, if it doesn't know how to plug into the right things, the right outlet, so to say, the power source, if you don't have a relationship, I'm not going to go there because we'll get there at the end. But if you don't know how to fix yourself, then you're just a broken ladder. And that person that made it up to the top, and now here you are down here, and you mad. You angry. You bitter. You want to make the person who climbed because you gave them the ladder to climb, now we want to make them, a victimizer. They victimized me. I'm a victim now. And we're never a victim because in those cases, they couldn't climb the ladder unless we made the ladder accessible. And we made the ladder accessible, but we made the ladder accessible with a condition. And the condition was, I'm going to help you get whole. But when you get whole, I need for you to make sure I'm up there with you.
And even beyond that is we should be helping each other together. we should be holding each other accountable. We should be holding each other as we should be coaching each other as we're going along. I'm setting goals. My mate is setting goals, and we're making sure that we reach each other. We reach our goals, and we reach our goals together. There should be, in relationships, there should be a place where together our visions become one, but we should also have our own vision in order for the visions to become one. Because if you're a whole person, you have to be able to see a vision even if you're not with your mate. You have to be able to see some sort of vision even if you're not with your mate. And so when two wholes come together, those visions join together and become one vision. So I'm saying in order to not be bankrupt beyond the bedroom, we have to start making sure that we're developing ourselves and developing our relationships along the way. You can't give attention to one thing and not give attention to the other thing. You have to make sure that you're being balanced.
Right. So true. That is so true. And I think a lot, especially with women. You see men that do it, but I think it's with greater frequency that you see women, where we're just, and it's natural. Let me tell you why it's natural. We desire our mate. We desire our king. And we see a lot of women that's all they pray for. Lord, send me a husband. Lord, I want somebody to love me. Lord, I need to be needed. Lord, I need to be wanted. Lord, I want attention. And that's a real prayer. That is a real prayer. And but we could get overly focused on that we just stop living. We become stagnant, and we just stop living because we're in a waiting mode. And waiting, we think waiting means be still. But waiting isn't, because waiting is literally, the term waiting is to wait. And if you think of a wait, you think of a waiter or a waitress, and they're waiting on, they're serving. And so you serve in whatever area God sends you to. And I'm saying God because that's where I'm at. Now, you begin to serve, and when you begin to serve in that area and you focus vertically, then eventually that horizontal will come too. And when it comes to, you're not needy, you're not broken, you're not damaged, because you're whole. And the goal would really be is that you want to get somebody else that's whole. And I mean, and I'm not saying nobody's going to be perfect, but whole meaning consciousness. Consciousness to know that I'm working on these areas. I'm setting goals. I want to, they have to be goal-oriented. They have to have a vision.
Yes.
Because the Word of God says without vision, people perish.
Exactly.
You got to work on being whole. Last week, a profound statement was made right as we were closing the show, because I'm telling you, we were pushing, getting late. I'm hoping some of you pulled your girlfriends in on this show. But the someone said, work your kingdom until your king comes.
Arise.
So, what does that mean to you? Because I don't know if that person is on the call on tonight, but if you are, if you want to share with us that statement that you made, if you want to elaborate on it, dial one on your dial pad. We would love to bring you in for you to elaborate on that, because that was a powerful statement.
It definitely was. She said, when she said, prepare your kingdom until your king arrives, it really broke into the whole understanding for me. It revealed the whole understanding of being whole, working on yourself to be a whole person. And you have to be whole in so many different areas. Again, you have to be willing to examine yourself, see the challenges that lay before you, and be willing to attack those challenges as well. In order for you to be a queen, you do have to have a kingdom that you're in charge of. And so you have to reign in your kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if you're not reigning in your kingdom, you're preparing yourself to reign in your kingdom. And so that means in so many different ways. If you're a parent, if you have a job, if your character, the very nature of who you are, you have to make sure that when you walk onto the scene, people recognize that a queen is walking onto the scene. And if not, that means you're just preparing yourself, because your king is going to recognize you as a queen when he arrives. But the only way that he can recognize you as a queen is if you are operating as a queen.
You know what? And I'm going to tell you something. As you said that, because as a queen, you know, this is a true statement. We attract what we are. We attract what we are. So, ladies, be careful, because when we become, one of the things I always said is desperation breeds counterfeit. I'm going to say that again. Desperation breeds counterfeit. And that means when we get so desperate that get so needy that we need a man, that we need to be married, that we can't even enjoy and embrace our singleness, what happens is that it breeds counterfeit, because it's going to breed somebody that's going to come along, and they're going to be exactly, or they're going to portray to be exactly what we think we need or want. And we all been there. You know, some of us have, you know, unfortunately, some of us have been married multiple times, and we've experienced, whether we were married or not, we've experienced multiple relationships that didn't work out. And for various reasons, and we can always point the finger at what the other person did or didn't do that caused the relationship not to work, but it's irrelevant what the other person did or didn't do, because my question is that what was your weakness and what was your strength? And a lot of people don't even know how to identify their weaknesses and their strengths, because I've heard people often say, especially men, because I always ask this question among men, especially men that's been in multiple, you know, in various relationships. And one of the things I found that they have in common is always what she did. She did this. She didn't do this. She. And so my question is to them, okay, so you're saying you were perfect. Well, I can't think of anything that I really done wrong. I just tried to love her. I just tried to help her. But the reality of it is even let's say you are perfect or you were perfect, the reality of it was that the moment that you chose that relationship, you became imperfect. Because if you chose this person that's so horrible, so you say, then you automatically became imperfect when you chose that person, because that said that you didn't even have a good judge of character to wow. choose somebody that was going to use you up, as you say. So I always say that to myself. We have to be what we want, and we will attract. And I know some of the relationships I've been in, I attract from my own brokenness,
uh-huh.
my own neediness, my own desire to be loved, you know, wanting to be loved and willing to be in a relationship that was giving me less than because I love this person, or I want this person to love me. And it's just, it's so, if you were already damaged, you get into a relationship that's damaging, and then you're just that much more damaged. You know what I'm saying? That kind of relationship doesn't heal you. It doesn't make you whole. It just makes you more damaged than you was before you went into the relationship.
Got it. But, you know, even when you say, because I'm really trying to understand and wrap my mind around, if you chose that relationship, then you now have kind of like revealed that you have your own challenges yourself. But what about when we show up and our representative is on the scene, and our representative is on the scene for like months, and then you might get a yellow flag, but you say, well, no, that's not how they usually operate, because they've shown you that that's not how they usually operate. What would you say in choosing somebody based upon the representative? That's who they represented themselves to be.
I'm going to say this. That's a really difficult one, because when somebody is being an imposter, it's hard to identify. I'm going to say this, ladies, and I said that I'm going to try to stay away from religion.
Uh-huh.
But I got to say this, because when you are operating in a spirit of discernment, and you're spending more time here, what happens is generally, especially women that's been single for a long time and been alone for a long time and been independent for a long time, and they're ready. Well, you know, you're ready. When you're ready to get married, you're ready to get married. And we may not want to admit to it, but it's still a spirit of desperation. Because Lord, I want to be married. And it's not like you're going out dating a bunch of people. You don't have to. But you have a desire. And so what happens is when you're vertical and that relationship comes horizontal, a lot of times what happens is we begin to get weakened. If you could think of a tree, when that tree keeps getting hit at the base, eventually what's going to happen?
It's going to, of course, fall down.
So if you think of yourself as being a tree vertical and you got something horizontal hitting you, ooh, baby, ooh, you know, let's pray, ooh, let's go to church, or ooh, you're just beautiful, and it's constantly hitting you. Ooh, I just love you. I'm going to marry you anyway. We're going to get married. All this is it's hitting. Eventually, the verticalness begins to lean. Even if it don't fall, it begins to lean. And before you know it, you're no longer even vertical now. Everything is horizontal, because in order for us to notice the issues and problems and stuff in our lives and what we're dealing with or what other people are dealing with, we got to take our eyes off of vertical. Because if we didn't take our eyes off of vertical, we wouldn't be able to see nothing horizontal around us.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't. It really wouldn't, you know, would it really exist? I mean, it's there, yeah. You might feel the winds of it as you're looking up, but you can't put your focus on it because you're too busy looking up. Does that sound realistic? Maybe not. But I'm just saying we keep getting ourselves in situations that are damaging. That's just so damaging for us. And, we just have to be more trusting. I believe it's more trusting that we have to be in order to, and that's not to say that you won't make mistakes. It's not to say that you don't get blindsided. But when you get blindsided and those things happen, my recommendation would be to really take an inner look and see what was I thinking, what was going on, and what was my need. What was my need at the time when I became so vulnerable horizontally, you know? We are going to let's get your opinion, audience. I mean, you're out there quietly waiting patiently. If you are on the line and you would like to contribute to this discussion, you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear it. We're going to ask you to dial 1 on your dial pad and join us. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are or what's put on your heart to share. Would be great. We would love to hear it and get this conversation continuing. You know I'm holding back, right, Minister LaDon?
Why are you holding back?
You know I'm holding back because I'm, you know, we do the girlfriend thing, and I like the girlfriend thing, and I like that flow.
Uh-huh.
It's so hard for me, even in the girlfriend thing. I could talk about some real issues, that's not caught up in religion.
Uh-huh.
I could talk about some real things that women deal with that's not, the religious quote. But I cannot, it's hard for me to talk about this stuff and not reference back to my point of reference. And my point of reference is really being the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really hard because it's a lot of people that's struggling and it's a lot of people going through. If you spent your whole, you spent the last 6 years single and believing God for a husband and you're doing everything you think is right within your own power, and then all of a sudden you get married and there's no performance in the bedroom. That's devastating for a person. It could be very devastating for a person. Still, it goes back to where they're vertical because God is able to change any situation and circumstance if he's the sinner. If he's the sinner.
Yes, I hear you. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, especially when you were speaking, was basically that you had mentioned that when we're in relationships, let me backtrack a little bit, because while you were talking, the first thing that came to mind was, did we verify and qualify the relationship before we got into the relationship, which went back to communicating. When we start off dating, when we start off, some people call it dating, some people call it mating. If you've been single for a very long time, or even you've been single for a short time, and you think the man of your dreams or the man that God has called you to has shown up on the scene, and now you're in this relationship, and now you're married, and now you find yourself devastated, if you felt like God called you to it, then you have to get to a point where you're understanding, again, the why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did you get to this place of now you're being devastated? Because God says he will not withhold any good thing from us. So now if we're at a point where we're devastated, what is that about? And we want to place it on God and put it at God's feet, like, Lord, you brought this mate to me. You said this, the one that was for me, but what did you do or he do or what did you guys not do that was in alignment with the call or the assignment that God placed on the two of you if he has called you two together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about being devastated, when we talk about the only way that you could get to a point of devastation, again, is one, lack of communication, two, not really being on assignment, three, not doing what you were supposed to do when you got there in the first place.
Mm.
When you got there and God had called you to do certain things in a relationship, or, you know, and if you're listening, you're not a believer, I'm going to let you know that God speaks to everybody. It's up to us to listen, because he will give you specific things to do. He will tell you to do certain things, and we will take it upon ourselves to say, you know what, I'm not doing that. That person don't deserve that. He didn't buy me flowers. He didn't respond to my telephone calls. He didn't answer my call. I called him 2 hours ago, and he still haven't responded to my call. So now I'm upset, and I'm mad, and so now I'm not calling him back when he calls me. And so we get into this gameplay that we do. We get into this role that has nothing to do with God. And so when we talk about devastation, and don't get me wrong, because we can still get to a point of devastation, and it could be that there hasn't been anything that's been so hurtful going on. Like we shared about the couple last week, where everything was supposedly so right, but even in the everything being so right, there's something else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I would say is, have you guys communicated? Did you discuss that this is what I want? And if you're discussing that this is what I want, are they hearing this is what I want? And are they not willing? Because then at that point in time, it's sabotaging the relationship. Are they not willing to give you what you want? Are you not willing to give them what they want? Is there we both are unwilling to compromise? But you have to go back to the why, and the why is part of communication.
Yeah.
And so I started this statement to say, did you verify and qualify? Did you verify and qualify that that's what you're called to? Did you verify and qualify that that person would be able to deliver what you needed and what you wanted throughout the duration of your relationship? And what's the duration of your relationship? We hear it all the time for those of us who have come out of the same ministry. The duration of your relationship when it comes to marriage is till death do you part. So you needed to verify and qualify that till death separated you, that you guys would be able to not only just be able, but be willing to deliver what each other needed.
That's it. Because, you know, and even somebody said, well, what if it's not that they're not willing? What if it's they're not able? Well, it goes back to what you said. Did you qualify and verify if the person was able to meet your need, you know, for a protracted period of time? Were they, you know, are they able? And, you know, oftentimes we'll get in relationships and we don't want to do the work. You know, we want to rush things. And so, and then we get mad. It's like telling a paraplegic to run cross country and then get mad at him because he can't or because she can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember hearing this story of, you know, there was this couple who got married, and the woman – would always cook dinner for her husband. So when he got home from work, dinner would be there. And he would get home from work, and he would he would say, "Babe, I love this meal. The meal tastes good. Oh, I sure wish I had me some steak." And so he would come back home the next day, and it was always chicken. She would do chicken. She was good at cooking chicken. And but he kept telling her he wanted steak, and she wouldn't fix steak. So eventually what ended up happening is the resentment kicked in, bitterness kicked in, they ended up getting a divorce. And then she was like, "I thought he loved me. I cooked every day for him. I mean, he came home, and I treated him like a king. The bath was ran. His house shoes was out, his newspaper, his cigar, and his dinner." But she couldn't understand why he was so furious. And then one day, they was after the divorce, they were sitting down talking, signed the papers and everything, giving, "Here's your key back." And the question came up.
Why?
The why came up. And he said, "Because I've been asking you to cook me steak for the last 2 years." And he said, "And you would never fix me steak. You kept fixing me chicken. Why?" And she said, "Honey, because I don't know how to cook steak." Now, you see, believe it or not, that could be funny. But do you know how many marriages divorce behind nonsense like that because of the lack of communication, because people are scared to ask the questions, or either they're scared to hear the answers? Why we don't have sex? Well, you know what? It just don't feel good. Something ain't right. But you know what? You would never tell your mate. Would you really tell your mate that? Are you bold enough? Do you have a spirit of boldness? Do you have a spirit of love that you would be able to communicate effectively to your mate, "Honey, I don't have sex with you because you're too big for me"? I mean, now get it. This is, we're talking about a couple that never had sex until they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have that conversation and then start trying to work towards a solution, guess what? They're going to be divorced.
And you know what, and when you talk about verify and qualify, those are the type of conversations that you need to have before you come to the place of being married. Because if you have those type of conversations, it doesn't just have to be about sex. It has to be what my friend termed, crucial conversations. And so those crucial conversations are conversations that you're not really sure about having. You're afraid of the response. You don't know if it's safe territory, but when you're in a relationship, all territory should be safe territory.
Yes.
It's not that it always is, but it should be safe territory because the two become one.
Well, go
ahead.
No, because it's only not safe when the only time that is not safe is when you don't want the other person to disagree with you, and you have to be willing to agree to disagree,
yes.
And you have to be willing to be, cordial and respect the other person. Even if you don't believe that, you got to be willing to respect what their thoughts and beliefs is.
You have to be willing to respond and not react. I sometimes react. And I must admit that my special friend, has patience that when I'm reacting, they will coerce a response out of me instead of a reaction out of me. Patient enough to love me through it.
Your disappointment.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we have a caller. Area code 310, last four, 1674. Welcome to Woman, our sister.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening. How are you?
Wow. Oh, you guys are really brave taking on this topic, this subject matter. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Minister, I just wanted some clarity on you said verify, qualify. Having a conversation in response to Coach D's comment that maybe my new spouse may be too endowed for me. Now, can you clarify how I would have that conversation before marriage?
And you're saying that they're too endowed for you?
Well, I have made the comment.
Well,
okay.
Let me clarify for you, caller. I have made the comment about, you know, a couple, for example, having issues. And if the woman would have been willing to say, you know, hon, the reason why I don't like to have sex that much with you because it hurts. You're too big for me. And that's a real issue with some marriages, because keep it in mind that this is a marriage that's based on principles, Christian principles. And so they're saying, okay, she said, how do you, before you say I do, those are some tough conversations. How do you strike up that conversation to find out if this person, even if you feel like it's a good fit?
Well, you know what? Sex should not be, especially if you're talking about marriage, sex should be not a topic of, sex should not be a topic of taboo between two people who are going to be married.
Amen.
And so if we are planning our marriage out, we're planning on what type of china we're picking out, what song we're going to have when we do our first dance, and we should be able to talk about, you know what, honey, I've never had sex before, but, you know, when I think about having sex, these are some of the things that go through my mind, and your husband-to-be should be able to respond to that, too. And, you know, you should be able to ask, you know, are you large size, are you small size? You don't have to make it to where you're going into that place where you're having sex. But it should be a topic of conversation that you're free in that space to say, these are things that I think that I may like. I don't know that I like them. Be able to confront different issues or different conversations with someone who you plan on spending the rest of your life with, because if you can't talk about it before you even go into that place of spending the rest of your life with them, how can you really say that this is going to be the person you spend the rest of your life with?
Because that's, keep in mind, that's your friend. And if you would have this conversation with your girlfriend, then surely you're not marrying her. So if you could have this conversation with your girlfriend, surely this man that you're getting ready to be, or women, you know, whoever, they should become your friend first. And when you talk, one of the reasons why it's so important for that person to become your friend, because when your mate or your potential mate become your friend, see, we'll share a whole lot of stuff with our friend that we'll never share with our husband. We'll share a whole lot of stuff with our friends that we will never share with our husbands or our wives. And so boys share stuff between their boys that they won't share with their wives, and wives share stuff between their girls that they won't share with their husbands. But when your mate is your friend and you can share that stuff because it's your friend, that is the most awesome relationship. Because guess what? There's going to come a point in your marriage or in your relationship where you're going to be mad at your husband or your wife. You're going to be, because you're not agreeing with them. They've done something, and you're not in agreement. And if they're only your husband and wife, perpetual problem.
Uh-huh.
But if they're your friend, then they could. In that moment, I'm mad at my husband. I cannot even deal with my husband right now. But dang, I could deal with my friend.
It's so funny that you said that. And caller, did you want to respond? We've been just running off with the conversation.
No, that's very clear now. I understand. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing you correctly. So that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Have an awesome show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Very, very much. I sure appreciate that. And thank you for calling in, and thank you for that question. And just to elaborate on what you both have said, I'm really going to talk about my relationship for a moment. And I was having a conversation with my mate, and I was saying, you know what, if I was talking to my friend, this is the conversation that I would have. But if I was talking to my mate, this is the type of conversation that I would have. But that conversation was with the same person. It was one and the same person. And so they had the opportunity to hear both sides of
the conversation.
Yeah, both points of view. They had the opportunity to look at it as my friend, and they had the opportunity to look at it as my mate, and they had the opportunity to respond as both my friend and as my mate, and respond separately too. And so we do have those type of conversations where we don't want to, sometimes we may not want to hear what's on the other end of that conversation, but we're willing to be friends more than we're willing to be mates.
That's it. That is it.
Awesome.
It took us a long time to get here. So I'm not going to say it's simple and just easy, but that is where we are. We're willing to be friends. We're willing to lose all of the silliness, all of the mess, all of the madness that surrounds being in a relationship or being mates to each other in order to be friends to each other so that we can be better mates to each other.
Yeah.
God bless you, my sisters. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
If there's any other callers that have a question or a comment, please dial one on your dial pad. We are coming towards the end of our show. It's been rich with information, and we just we would love for you to make suggestions. You could email us at w2w@mycoachd.net. Again, that's w2w@mycoachd.net, and you could just make suggestions on things that you would like to hear us talk about. We could talk about everything from A to Z, relationships. We could talk about goal setting. We could talk about health. There's so many different topics that women want to talk about and want to know about, and so definitely we would love to get any type of feedback through email, and we would love to bring those topics to life. If you have someone that you believe would make a good guest for our show, you could send us an email with their bio, and we could definitely take a look at that and look at possibly bringing that person on to our show. We really appreciate your support. We appreciate you ladies for listening in. And we just ask one thing of you, that you continue to, if you've enjoyed our shows over the last several weeks, we just ask that you tell your friends about it. Tell your girlfriends about Woman to Woman. Have them tune in. They could call in from the comforts of their home, or they could listen in via the internet. We you know, just let them know and have them call in and listen in and feed in and participate in the discussions that we're having. This has really been a great discussion tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And again, our topic was I love you with all my heart, bankrupt beyond what, you know, basically what happens when you're bankrupt beyond the bedroom. And so hopefully that we've given you some information that helps you when you walk away from this call to not be bankrupt beyond the bedroom. And not I love you with all my heart, I
love you
with all my heart.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy beyond the bedroom. And again, you know, in being transparent myself, I definitely want to say that I understand the challenges that we go through and that we face as women, and, you know, how we want to make sure things work. We have this innate desire to not let things die, to make sure that things live. That's how God created us, as the nurturer,
mm-hmm.
to help things grow, to make things live. And so because of that, we have to make sure that we have to make sure of what it is that we're trying to make live. And that's where the verify and qualify comes in, first and foremost. Verify and qualify. And now that you're in that relationship and you want that relationship to live, make sure that you pay attention to what you're causing to grow, what you're causing to live. You don't want the unnecessary, just the silliness to live. You don't want that to be what lives. You want what lives to be the things that will propel you into the future, that will cause you guys to connect more, that will cause your relationship to be very deeply rooted and bonded. And so pay attention to what you're growing in that relationship. And don't let it be all about the bedroom. Again, don't let it be all about the bedroom, but don't exclude the bedroom too.
Because that's very, you know, it's very, the bedroom is very important to, and I say that not from a physical standpoint. I say that because, especially for husband and wife, the if sex wasn't important, it wouldn't be much through the Bible as it is. It was given to a marriage as a form of the two becoming one. It was a bonding process, and that's how the two became one. And we all know we've been in, you know, most people, glory to God if there's somebody out there that's still a virgin and never been married. But most of us, I would have to say that our target audience for women to women are, at, you know, 35 and up. And most people that's that age have been married at least once, have children. So it makes it a little bit more unique and a little bit different, and you've got to really pay attention. Because if you were a virgin, and that's why God planned it that way. He didn't plan for us to have sex outside of marriage. He didn't plan for us to have multiple marriages, because you don't miss what you don't have. So if your first time as a virgin having sex is the first time with your husband, then you have nothing to compare to. So what you're getting, you know, you can say, oh, I like that a little softer, or, oh, I like to do this, but you have nothing to compare to. You just know what makes you feel good and don't. That's such an easy place to come, you know, to a reference.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've been in multiple relationships, or, you know, you've been in marriages and you've had kids, it makes it very difficult, because you know why? Because now we have to begin to really cast down vain imaginations. We got to make sure that we're not comparing where we are to where we were. I mean, it's so much. We got to arrange a variance of comparison. And it makes it very difficult for either mate. It can make it difficult for the wife or the husband, because now I got to be trying to live up to somebody else, to somebody else's expectation. It's no different than porno. And the reason why porno is so damaging to marriage is because it gives unrealistic expectations. It gives an unrealistic expectation that most women can't fulfill. It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. And then the men take this fantasy and bring it into the bedroom, or it could be women, so I don't want to be prejudiced. But they bring this fantasy into the bedroom, and when they can't meet that fantasy, now they're looking elsewhere. And so now they're trying to find, it's like a drug addict. They're constantly trying to find somebody to meet that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they don't. They come close in probably various things, but they don't find that. And then next thing you know, they really got an illness and a sickness, and they're out there doing all kinds of things, and then they got a mate that's at home that's depressed and damaged because of the decision. So saying all that to say is that that's a conversation. It's not the main focal point, but it is a focal point. It is something that needs to be talked to, even if you guys both agree that you don't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's an agreement between the two of you. You guys might not. Some people may just be like, that ain't what, it's, I don't need it. And if you don't need it, at least both of you guys are agreeing that. The other thing I want to say before we close is, women, if you don't know where you're going, how do you expect to find what you need? Because you got to be equally yoked. And equally yoked don't have anything to do with believer and non-believer. Equally yoked has to do with assignment.
Mm.
Equally yoked has to do with assignment. And so if you don't know what your assignment is, you can't expect for him to come in and know what your assignment is, or vice versa. If he don't know what his assignment is, he sure can't expect for you to come in and know his assignment. So you really need to know what your assignment is, what your passion, what that purpose is. And once you know that, then you want to make sure that whoever that person that you're considering is on the same page with you. It's nothing worse than getting involved in a relationship where you're trying to go left and they're trying to go right. You know, that's called unequally yoked, because what a yoke did was it brought balance to the cattle, and it balanced them out and made them stay equal.
And so can you imagine, and that's the gear that goes over the cattle's head to keep them equal. Can you imagine both of the cattle with this gear on trying to go in different directions? They couldn't. So you just always want to make sure that you're finding somebody that's equally yoked with you, that's on the same wave pattern. Of course, as a man, that's a whole other show. We won't even get into that when we start talking about roles. But make sure that you're equally yoked, and that the person that you're joining yourself with is somebody that's going to be able to speak life into your dreams and your visions. That's going to be able to support you and push you, provoke you to purpose. Likewise, as you would do with them. So, Minister LaDon, do you have anything in closing? As we get ready to close, we don't have any other questions in our listening audience, so I think we will bring this show to a close.
Well, one thing that I will share, I'm going to share four on this show, and I'm going to share four on the next show. So you have to tune in to the next show to get the rest. But one thing that I will share is that there are 8 foundational building blocks, spiritual building blocks that make up being whole and then make up really working on your relationships. The first 4 of the 8 that I'm going to share is mental, emotional, physical, and financial. We don't realize how those different areas affect each area individually and affect us as a whole. If you're not mentally whole, if you're not mentally in a place where your mind is just right, it's going to affect you emotionally, it's going to affect you physically, and it definitely affects your finances. But even if you're not emotionally whole, it's going to affect you mentally, it's going to affect you physically, and it's going to affect your finances. How many of us, when we get emotionally upset, we start spending money unwisely? You know, you don't go to work because you're so broken and, oh, my whole life is over. So, again, the first 4 that I'm sharing is mental, emotional, physical, and financial. And for the next 4, you'll have to tune into next week's show.
Next week's show. We thank you, our sisters. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to Woman. And we just hope that you heard something on the show tonight that could really help you in your journey to wholeness. And, again, we hope that you found something so important on the show that you're willing to invite family and friends to join us on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're available, join us on Thursdays for Processing the Pain at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with yours truly, Coach D. And this Thursday, the subject topic is Valentine or Valid Lies.
Oh, wow.
So tune in on Thursday at 7 p.m. And then we have Monday, Relentless Pursuit, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, again, we appreciate your support, and we look forward to you tuning in next Tuesday for Woman to Woman.
Thank you all for being here.